in financial blessing and in relationship blessing, Lord, and that they would be free and clear of any encumbrances, Lord, in any sense, in any way. We give them everything that we have to go forth and do what they're called to do in your lovely name. Thanks, Jesus. Anybody else have something they want to say? Anybody?
Yeah. I'll just say that I feel like there's books. There's books coming in. Heather, I know I feel like you're supposed to write a book, and I feel like that for Sandra. I mean, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, for Sarah. But I felt for Sarah, it was more a guideline that, like, you're gonna make things. You're gonna be a help to form things wherever God is placing you, so that you're not gonna be timid in it, because God's just calling that gift out of you. So it's part administrative, but it's very much full of the Holy Spirit. And so, Sarah, I just think you're just going to be blessed with inspiration that way. And for Heather, too, I felt like you're going to be just inspired by the Lord to write out from your deep heart. It's just coming right from the deep heart that God has touched. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Wow, so good. Love it, love it, love it. Thank you, Lord.
Just really quick, thank you for praying for us. We saw in the bulletin, it's Pastor Appreciation Month, sort of an unorthodox way of starting that month off, but just really wanted to say thank you to you, Pastor Randy and Pastor Christine, for all that you did for us here. So we love you guys, and we look forward to our next meeting.
More stuff. Yeah. Hallelujah. Kids, come on up here. Whoop. Yeah, do laps before you get up here. Yeah. Look at these kids. Thanks, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, extend your hands and your hearts. Thanks, Lord, for these beauties. Thank you for all that they are, Lord, and all that they're becoming. We bless them in your wonderful name. And we ask you to take them and teach them and bless them as they go to Sunday school. Bless their helpers and teachers as well. In your lovely name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Seminary, how to discreetly put on your microphone. No, they don't. Hallelujah. Good stuff. God is always doing good stuff. You believe that?
Yes, absolutely.
He's always doing good. He is good all of the time. Amen. What Shad and Heather and Andrew and Sarah just did was I believe, the right way to do things. There is something about, like, we live in a society where we believe that we have autonomy, that democracy is the highest level of government. It is not. Theocracy is the highest level of government. Theo being God and his government. Anytime man gets his grubby hands on stuff, we mess it up. Now, God places, it says, people in leadership, right? It doesn't say that he puts people in leadership that everybody likes and they're going to be perfect. It doesn't say that anywhere. But it says that God places them and we are to honor them. And so, and also God places people together in the ecclesia, the gathering of the saints. And so you're called here by his purpose. You thought you made the decision, but it was his spirit that drew you. And so when you make a decision to leave and to not honor leadership, you are saying to God, you don't know, I know better, I'm going. Heather and Shad, Andrew and Sarah chose to stay and listen and to do the right thing, to leave in a healthy fashion. If you leave a church quietly and you think discreetly without telling anybody, you are not honoring. That is the ultimate in dishonor for a body and for the leadership that God has put in place. Now remember, David, who had a heart after God, David, King David, he had a leader who was evil and corrupt, tried to kill him. But David chose to always bless him and to stick around and not take the title from him when he had a chance, to not kill him with his words or his spears in any way. David chose, even when the leader was bad, David chose God's heart, which was to bless, always bless, even in an evil situation. Paul, who is the greatest apostle that we know, chose to come under the authority that God had placed in place and come before the leaders in Jerusalem and ask them for what they should do. He had the power and he had the anointing to go ahead and do what he felt he should do. But he chose to submit himself to leadership. Always a good idea. When you choose of your own accord, of your way of thinking, to do anything other than the way God would have you do it, you're making a mistake, and there will be consequences. Now, you think that you can handle the consequences. I don't think I can handle the consequences, because you don't know what they're going to be. And so we pray for people that leave without telling us. We ask God to honor them in spite of their self-willed choices. We ask God to honor them. But there is an honoring and there is a blessing when people choose to do it the right way. No matter how insignificant you think you are, have prayer of blessing before you leave a church. Go before the leadership, and no matter how hard it is for you to do it, a good leader will never, never say, no, you can't leave. If you are in God's purpose and God's will, you will always go forth with a blessing. Have the leader pray for you. Have the leader bless you. You go forth undercover then until you come under the cover of another body. There is a beautiful thing about being under the cover of a body. God put churches together so that when you're attacked, because we all get attacked sooner or later, when you're attacked, you have the whole tribe behind you. You wouldn't in your right mind go up to the lowest buck private in the army and smack him in the mouth when he's got his uniform on. You wouldn't do that. Because all of the force of all of the army is behind him, and you will be called to account in all of that. And the forces of heaven come to bless you when you do it the right way. And I honor those two couples and bless them for what they chose to do. Very smart. In John 10:10, it says that people that are around and decide to leave as soon as there is a sign of trouble are called hirelings. They were just in it for what they could get, and as soon as there's trouble, bye. The Bible doesn't say nice things about them. The Bible says nice things about those who stay. And I love that. So, all that said, that was just to honor the two couples, you know. And I love that, and I love them. And you no matter what, you can see them on the street and bless them, ask them how they're doing, and just enjoy them always. It's a healthy, healthy way to do things. And I think it's God's way. Turn with me to Hebrews, if you would. Shows you that man should always make coffee in the morning. Hebrews. No? I'm going to be in trouble for that one later. This is a faith chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. We'll read it in just a minute. But the thing that got me thinking about it was I saw this picture of this walkway and a bridge in China. It's in Yantai Mountain Scenic Park in Hunan Province, China. And it's glass. And it's 320 feet high, 325. And this glass that kind of walkway and then bridge that is a major attraction there. There was a year or so ago, there was while people are on this thing, there was a loud crack. Oh, lots of people became believers at that moment. This crack was just one level of glass cracking. There's these panels are rated for 1,700 pounds each, and there's lots of them, and they're fail safes and all that kind of stuff. But just the idea that this thing could come down, you know, it's like your worst fear. You knew it was going to happen while you were on there. But there is something about stepping out onto a glass bridge and seeing below you, like there is nothing below your feet that you can see. Now, in your head, you know that engineers are smart people, and they put this together really well. So your head is saying, this is good. You can trust this. They're checked all the time. I'm sure they're checked all the time. But then something else is saying, well, the Titanic was checked. The Titanic was unsinkable. Shh. I can go out here, you know. We were on a bridge like that once where we looked down. And it's frightening. There's one in the Grand Canyon as well. And on the North Shore, they have a kind of a thing that follows the rock wall where you can look down upon it. But there, watching people do this thing is an amazing experience. Because some people really, they get out there and they just fall to their knees. and begin to crawl one way or the other. They're not sure which way, because your head does not agree with your gut. Your gut says, no, this is not good. Your heart starts to race. Sometimes you start to sweat out on these things. And it's just, this is not right. Now, it makes sense when you're not there. Oh, yeah, I could do that. But when you look down and all you see is 325 feet of air and then rocks and nothing between the two of you, something happens inside of you. So some get on their knees. Some hold on to the cables as if their very lives depended upon it, you know, and they make their way across. And some people just walk across like it's quite normal. I don't know which camp you would be in, but my pride wouldn't let me fall to my knees at that point. How can a man of faith do this? Pardon me? Yeah, till I heard the crack. Yeah, that would, I'm afraid, do it to me. But we... So the glass creates this illusion that you're walking in space with nothing to support you. That you won't fall. Gravity is thwarted by this pane of glass. It's a wonderful thing. Just delightful. Let me read from Hebrews 11. We're always looking for metaphors for faith, right? Like examples. Well, what you do when you sit on a chair, that's faith, you know? Like, they all fall down a little bit. But this glass bridge thing just kind of intrigued me. Listen to what Jesus says. Now, some people say Paul wrote Hebrews. Some people say Barnabas. Some people say somebody else. I think it was Jesus through the Holy Spirit. You can have your own faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Right? A glass bridge you can't see. Conviction of things not seen. For by it, people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Everything you see came out of the invisible. That blows my mind. I can't go there sometimes, you know. Like, how does that happen? But yet we're called to live in this reality. That's more real than the seat you're in right now. And if you can wrap your head around that, you're a better man than I, Gunga Din. Dropping down to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand in, by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of their, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. He has prepared for us a city. We can't see it right now, but it is sure. When we look around, where this whole idea of not seeing yet believing, we know that if we are on that bridge, the thing that is holding us is not a plane of pane of glass. Anyway, not a pane of glass, but the rock, which is Jesus. He is our foundation. And we stand on this thing, not seeing what we have as a foundation. We can't, it's a scary, scary thing to get out there. We look for the cables to give us comfort. The cables, I think, would be God's word. Something you can grab onto. Or perhaps prayer by crawling on your knees. Our faith in Christ is like that. Especially these days when we can see beneath our faith, it can make us wonder just how substantial our trust is. For example, we look down and see many other people who seem quite content to carry on without any commitment at all to someone or a being that is higher than themselves. And they appear to be getting along all right. Perhaps it crosses our minds that trying to live righteously, we're missing out on something. Do you ever have those kind of thoughts? Do you ever look around at your neighbors and think, they don't tithe and they have a nice car? We hear arguments from people of other belief areas, you know, I mean even materialism or humanitarianism or, you know, all of the things that are out there, and we're tested in it. Am I making the right decision, or am I really, really stupid or naive? Just, you know, that's a little better, isn't it? Just being naive feels like a cute little Sunday school girl or something, you know? And it seems better than stupid. But I feel stupid sometimes. When I look around and I think, oh, well, they're doing okay, these guys. These people are doing better than most of the people I know. For in church, not just our church, but other churches, there's people sick. It seems like the numbers are higher in church than they are on the street. There's people that are having financial difficulties in church. People that are in strained relationships. People getting divorced in church. All of that stuff. Now, what do we do with that? Because it seems like we're walking on something that may well give way. But Jesus said that's what faith is about. It's being able to see with eyes of understanding, to see the reality of your future, of what we call heaven, Bible calls it that too. But lots of people say there is no heaven. Lots of people say there is no hell. But those are the same people that believe they could walk on a glass bridge and find themselves crawling out of huge fear. You know, they don't know. Mike Tyson, that great theologian, says everybody has a plan until they're punched in the nose. Right? The reality changes things. You get punched in the nose and you think, eh, maybe I'm not such a good fighter. We all have our doubts. But that's why we spend our time on the cable, like in the Word of God. That's why we spend our time on our knees, if we have to crawl across the bridge, in prayer, having this relationship with Him. Because if we go a day or a week or a month without the Bible and prayer, we begin to move into those other isms, materialism or socialism or whatever ism you want, and start to believe those things just a little bit more. The crack is there for it to have a little bit better place in our lives. We need to hold on to the things that ground us in our faith, that help us and remind us. Do I sound scratchy? Thank you. Oh, there's a fish in it. Multiply, fishy. Thanks. We need to be grounded. And we need to have that assurance that what it is we're doing that doesn't make sense to this world. Like, they really think that we're nuts. Tithing doesn't make any sense to anybody unless you know the God that called you to it. Then everything changes. Because you begin to see that, oh, you're taking responsibility for the finances. I don't have to do this anymore. I do it your way, and you are my covenant partner. Ah, I see that. But unless you've tried it, unless you've walked out on that bridge, it's scary. It is very scary to walk out there. I remember when we were making that choice. We don't have enough money in a month as it is. There's always way more month at the end of the money. And we just couldn't make it. But somehow, when we took that first step, and then we took another step, and we haven't died. We haven't starved to death. You still with me, honey? No. You get out there and, oh, this is okay. I can actually do this. Yeah. But then you look down and it's scary again because other people have other ideas. What am I going to do with this thing? And we're continually in a place where we're being bombarded by contrary opinions to the things that we're doing. Right. We're being pulled and stretched to go other ways because we cannot see the things that God called us to. Like, can you see the person that you pray to every day? Can you show him to somebody? It takes faith. It takes faith in something that is not visible, but it becomes very real when you give it a chance. It becomes very tangible when you dedicate your life to Him. We can't justify Mary being a virgin when she gave birth. Like, who can wrap their heads around that? And Jesus raising from the dead. Even when you see it, you don't believe it. So it's God's called us to an impossible task. And he says, unless you have faith, it's impossible to please me. Is that fair? Well, it is, because he makes the rules. And he is eternally faithful. And he will see you through it. Yeah. Our Christian doctrines don't make sense. But yet, he talks to us about that stuff. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, it says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Welcome to Christianity 101. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most pitied. Or as the Message paraphrases these last words, if all we got out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, then we're a pretty sorry lot. And that's what we're faced with. Like, you know, honestly, we've had those thoughts. Secularism, political activism, humanitarianism, materialism, they're all valued by our neighbors. But we, as people of faith, sometimes feel like Peter walking on the water. Sometimes you feel like, I can do this. I can walk on water. Other times you think, glub, glub, I'm going to drown. And God foresaw all of that. He sees where we are. He sees what we're going through. And he's there with us the whole time. His promise is that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now that sounds so religious when we just kind of flash it off, that it loses its value. But up until Jesus coming, people lived without Jesus being with them, without the presence of God. As they left Egypt, they had the presence of God in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. That was his presence. It was with them. And that was him showing what it would be like in the future. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That was always there. You could always look and see it. Now, we can't look and see it, but we live it. We live it. We live by faith. We are people of faith. And that's what God has called us to, is that faith. Faith sometimes can feel like following the unseen into the unknown, which isn't a very comforting thought, is it? What we just read in Hebrews talks about what we see and what we don't. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are invisible. We should take comfort and hope from the fact that we can be so easily misled by what we see. We can misunderstand the nature of almost anything and any person who we talk to. You see what's happening in the world right now. Like never before, there is a 50-50 split everywhere. Like in the States, good, wonderful people believe absolutely one way, and good, wonderful people believe absolutely the other way. And they're willing to come to blows over it. That's so weird. And it doesn't fit in a society that's supposed to be as enlightened as we are. All over the world that is happening. The 50-50 splits. Spirit of divorce, spirit of division. And people, like, David Livingstone, the magician, he made the empire or the Statue of Liberty disappear on national television. Right? You can check it out. It didn't actually disappear, but the people that were watching it believed that it was gone. Because sight will fail you. Your ears will deceive you. Your thoughts will be misaligned. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's true. Right? I know that's a shock to some of you. But it's right up there with, it's on the internet, it must be true. We can be so easily deceived. So what do we hook our belief system into? Something that is older and more reliable than anything that we could ever have today. The God of the universe. And what he says, we have his actual word. Mankind has tried to destroy this thing over the centuries. They've tried to burn every single copy. They've tried to ban it, to put people in jail, to kill people for reading it or for interpreting it. Mankind has done everything they could to abolish this thing and rid us of it. And yet here it is. Here it is for us to read every day. God himself says that he breathed every word of it. Every word. So it's there for a purpose. And that strengthens me in such a way that over the weekend I needed some encouragement and I didn't know what to do. And I just started flipping through the pages of Isaiah and just kind of letting it sink into me and flip through another page. And I didn't read every word. I just kind of glanced over it. And after 10 minutes, I felt such strength. Like God has such a love for us. You know, I started in, you know, chapter 30 and went through to 60. And I saw the plan of Jesus coming and what he would do. And I saw how God was always going to be with us through the fire and through the water and through the flame. And I saw God redeeming mankind and all of this stuff I know is true because it hits the right place in me. That place that's held by the Holy Spirit. God is invisible. Yet he is more real to us here than anything we know or anyone we know. How can that be? It requires faith. You have faith that he loves you and that he's with you and he's loving you and he's doing good things in your life. We should take comfort and hope from the fact that we can be so easily misled by what we see. We can misunderstand the nature of almost anything and any person. That we see externally or hear externally. Conclusions based on external information or impressions will more often prove wrong than right and can lead us to invest ourselves in that which has no real substance. We can also take comfort and hope in the fact that faith is a way of seeing which looks beyond appearances. We look at those that we just read about and those that are beyond that, but we read from verse 8 of chapter 11 about Abraham and about Sarah, about Isaac and about Jacob. He gives us a long list of of people who are in the hall of fame of faith. And they did it without really understanding. Like, do you know these people made the hall of fame? You know, if that's what you want to call it. But all they were doing was trying to live their lives. Right? They didn't jump into this thing thinking, someday, this is going to be written down in the Hall of Fame. My life is going to accomplish something, and I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame. They were just like us. They weren't sure. Like, Abraham, how often do you think as Abram, he's walking along in the desert, listening to his wife and concubine and everybody else that's around him, and thinking, did I make a mistake? Am I doing the right thing? Did I really hear from God? And we're called to do the same kind of thing. Just to live our lives before Him. And whatever it is that we find ourselves in, whatever circumstance that is beating upon us at this particular time, we know that He's with us. And we know that He's doing good things all the time. He has no desire to hurt us, whatever. In the New Interpreter's Bible, it just looking at Hebrews 11, I like this. It said, the use of a life or an act as an example must always be reflected on a life or an act that was not intended to be an example, but had its own reasons and its own integrity. No one on the list of exemplars of faith lived his or her life as an example to anyone. Having done so would have disqualified them as good examples. It's because they lived out their own faith without an eye on an audience that they are examples to us today. They just were living. They had less than we have, really. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have the assurance that He would never leave them nor forsake them. Right? The New Testament, all of that wasn't around for these guys. For Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Isaac. And, you know. We have that. And we have the assurance that the God that kept the Bible is keeping us. And no matter what forces come against us as they came against the written word of God, He kept the written word of God. He's going to keep us.
Jesus, thank you.
He is going to prosper us.
Hallelujah.
And prosper means so many more things than money.
Hallelujah.
Money's a part of it, but prospering us in our understanding of who each other is and who He is and how it all works together and all of that stuff. It's an amazing thing. And He's working through us all the time. Jen, would you play a little bit? And we could send the kids up if somebody wants to. We're going to have communion in just a minute. The message of faith goes against everything that we could imagine, given our human form. The message of faith is against the human condition. We cannot live a Christian life on our own. It was impossible to live the Old Testament life, and a New Testament life is even harder than the Old Testament life. Jesus was the only one that could live it, but Jesus lives in you. So it makes it possible to live it. He is in you and you are in Him. The two most incredible truths that are in the Word. The two most reassuring sets of words that any of us have. Jesus is in me and I am in Him. You are in Him for all that He has. He became your sin that you might become His righteousness. You becoming His righteousness puts you in line for all of His inheritance. All of it. put you in line for everything that he was able to accomplish and everything that he would ever accomplish. It makes you ready to receive. You are in him, and he is in you. So you can never feel, if you're in touch with that, alone. There is always someone there who will love you and keep you. Someone who will encourage you in your faith. Someone who will remind you who you are and what you're called to. And someone who will teach you and guide you and lead you in every way that you're going. He is amazing, and he's put you in the perfect place. A place where it's so easy to have faith. Faith is it doesn't make sense. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He'll never put us in a place where it's impossible to do the thing that he's called us to do. So by being in us, he makes it possible for us to please him and have faith. Faith is a wonderful message, and one that we need to be reminded of regularly. Hallelujah. So Jen, if you could lead us in a song, I'll prepare the elements, and we can we'll partake together. What we'll do is I'll have Bob and Cheryl Snowden come up, and they'll be at the front of the aisle here, and they'll give you elements, and Christine and I'll be there, and we can have communion together. So if you take the elements, take them yourselves, and go back and just contemplate that in your seats, but take it right away, okay?
Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far
Steph.
And wide, but I know we're all searching for answers.
Thank you. Stripes, we were healed. Lord, through your sacrifice, we have received everything that we need for this life. Help us, Lord, to come into that. Help us, Lord, to possess that. We recognize by faith that it's there, but help us to walk across that glass bridge of faith to participate with you in all that you have given us. Jesus, I ask your blessing upon each person, that you would love, honor, protect, keep, and prosper each one. You're so good, Lord. I know you want to do that anyway. So we're just asking you to do what you have underway anyway. Bless each one now in your lovely name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.